We're in the holy season of Advent. And one of the great aids to entering into the spirit of the season and following the richness of the season is the daily mass readings, the scripture readings every day. A big, big help to help us, to get us into what Advent is all about. This season of preparation and of vigilance and of waiting for the coming of the Lord. Now I know, and you know it too, that Advent is also a time full of activity, preparing for Christmas parties and other Christmas parties. Just the other day I was with the priests and we had an Advent recollection. Well, part of the recollection was planning for the Simbangali schedule, planning for the Kumbhisarambayan schedules, and planning for the Christmas parties. So that was our Advent, but that wasn't the whole thing, I'm just joking. But part of the real experience, the practical experience of this time of year, is activity, getting ready for parties and shopping and get-togethers. That's why the daily readings are even more valuable, because, yes, we have to do a lot of things, but we need something to ground us in our spiritual journey. Here in Ottawa, of course, a lot of our effort and energy and focus is on the preparations for our 50th anniversary celebrations, which will be this Saturday and Monday. So naturally, we're quite busy, but all the more reason why we need these scripture readings. So today's first reading is one of the beautiful messianic prophecies, a description of what will happen or who will come, this descendant of Jesse, meaning a descendant of David, will come and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's the classic description of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of the Lord. And it says that this Messiah, filled with the Spirit, is going to establish justice. He's going to be strong in establishing a kingdom of justice, and the wicked will be slain. They'll be cut down because the justice of the Messiah will reign. That's the first part of the prophecy. And it's very appealing to people like the Jews who are under oppression from unjust rulers very often. Then the second part of the prophecy is a little bit more surprising. Not only is the Messiah going to establish a kingdom of justice, but he's going to establish a kingdom of peace. Not peace by force or peace by slaying the wicked, but peace by reconciliation. And the images are quite striking, right? The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the calf and the young lion. Enemies that do not get along and can't get along are going to be reconciled and live in peace together. Even in our day, the difficulty of establishing justice and peace remains. Justice is usually in the hands of the powerful. Peace seems to us like a difficult goal, because if once we establish peace, we have to tolerate injustice. And every time there's an effort to establish peace, somebody's going to complain and say, no, that's unjust. But this Messiah, prophesied in the first reading, will establish justice and peace. Even peace between the baby and the cobra. These images are quite shocking, right? Who would ever put a baby anywhere near a cobra? Or a child lay his hand on the adder's lair, the serpent. Okay, this is the Messiah. He's going to establish this extraordinary new reign of justice and peace. When we get to the gospel, we are told that the way this prophecy is going to be fulfilled is not to the learned and the clever, the rich and the powerful. It's not going to be done in a way that we could figure out or we could expect. It's revealed to the childlike. Jesus says, many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but they didn't see it, to hear what you hear, but they didn't hear it. In fact, the whole tradition of the chosen people was waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled, waiting for the king, the descendant of David, to come and establish justice and peace. And when he comes, Jesus himself, it's a surprise. Comes as a baby. I love having this little baby here in the Mass with us. And Jesus was a small baby like that. The Messiah, the powerful king, was a little baby like this, helpless, innocent. So this is a reminder to us in Advent that God's ways are surprising and that he doesn't work the way we would think he would work to do his great work of restoration and salvation. He doesn't march into the halls of the rich and powerful and establish justice. He works with the childlike, the little ones, the hidden ones. What you have hidden from the wise and the learned, you have revealed to the childlike. How could I not think of, in my own pilgrimage, recent pilgrimage, how could I not think of the little shepherds of Fatima? I always love the story of Fatima. I've never been there. And I always loved the little shepherds. I learned how to say their names in Portuguese. Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta. We always say Lucia. Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta. But no, it's in Portuguese. Lucia, Francisco, Jacinta. Anyway, one of the surprising things is who the Blessed Virgin Mary chose to bring a message of extraordinary import to the 20th century. She chose these little shepherds. Now, when I went there, of course, the first thing you go to is the shrine. And there's a big church on one end, and there's a huge plaza. There's this chapel where the first apparition took place of Our Lady, a little chapel there. And then there's the other end of the big plaza. There's another enormous and ugly basilica. Modern one, made out of concrete. Anyway, it's a big, big place, and you say, well, this is obviously a pilgrimage site and a holy site. But and we got there, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, and we were on retreat, so we didn't get to see everything right away because we were on our retreat. But on Sunday afternoon, we got into the bus, and we drove to the village where the three shepherds lived. And they didn't live anywhere near this big shrine. In fact, they didn't even really live in Fatima, what we would call Fatima. I never got to the church of Fatima, the parish church of Fatima. Fatima, in Filipino terms, might be considered the poblacion. And the children lived in a barangay, Aljustrel. I had heard this name, I never knew what it was. Aljustrel is another little hamlet, a little village, some distance from the poblacion. It's really a remote barangay, and we got there. And the houses where the children were born and grew up are still there. And they're very small. I felt like Gandalf walking into the house of Bilbo. You know, remember if you've seen the movie of the Lord of the Rings, Gandalf is the wizard and he's a tall fellow. And Bilbo is a hobbit. He's about this tall. But these children and their parents are only about this tall. And their house is quite small. So I had to bend down to get into the house. The doorway is about this high. And then the ceiling is about this high. So the whole time I'm in the house, I'm bent over. Anyway, they're very small, and it's a very remote place. And you say, well, Mary chose this little barangay, this little family, these little people, these nobodies. They were illiterate shepherd children. These little hobbits. That's what Mary chose. Not the wise and the learned. Not the leaders of European civilization or world economies. Little people in nowhere. And gave them an extraordinary message of peace. Right? The message of Fatima is peace. Conversion and peace. The rosary and peace. Beautiful. Anyway, it's a fulfillment of what Jesus is talking about. The surprise that God works in little ways, in hidden ways, with childlike people. How could I not think about our own experience in the Anglican community? We're celebrating our 50th anniversary. And we've been preparing for the celebration. We've been looking at old photographs and picking out stuff from our history. I worked with Leah, and she's put together a commemorative booklet. And then I worked with Chloe, who's our operator in the back there. She's making a video. And so many of these pictures are, you know, people sitting in a kitchen, somebody in somebody's living room, a few people, you know, praying together, nobody's. People in the Philippines say, what's corny? What's corny? Where is that? What's matuchen? Matuchen. Who ever heard of matuchen? I mean, why is that an important thing in Iowa history? Well, actually, the Americans say the same thing. What's BF resort? What's BF stand for? Big fat resort. What's BF? And you know, why does God choose these little unknown places or unknown to the rich and the powerful? Why does he choose little people, insignificant people, to establish his kingdom? That's how he works. Jesus rejoices that this is how the Father works. He rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for doing things this way, this surprising way, this disarmingly simple way. And part of Advent is to get used to how God works, to accept his special favor for the little ones, to recognize that the world's focus on wealth and power is just a distraction. It's not that important. What's really important is how God chooses to reveal himself. And not only to recognize it, but to be willing to be part of it, to be willing to be poor, to be willing to be little, to be childlike, to be willing to be surprised by the ways of God. That's part of Advent. Because if we think we have Advent figured out, or we think we have the ways of God figured out, or we know exactly how the Christmas season is going to work, we're going to miss it. Because he'll do something that the learned and the wise can't figure out, and won't even notice when it happens. So don't be too wise in worldly sense. Don't be too clever. Don't be too reliant on your human achievements. Be humble. Be little. Let the Lord, who is, yes, King of justice and peace, let him work in his own surprising ways. Be childlike, so that we can rejoice with Jesus in the Holy Spirit for the ways of God.